The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio. Now I'm going to get right into it because this weekend there was Iran sent drone attacks into Israel.
And missiles. Ballistic missiles.
Ooh,
they're all Chinese crap because not a one hit the target.
Well, they also have the Iron Dome system, which I know is supposed to take out a lot of the missiles.
It did.
And well, it works pretty good because it's U.S. made.
And it's because it is U.S. made. And they had some new technology, too. And I can't remember what it's called, but they're
talking about some of this. Oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's on point with Victor. Staying a little bit to talk about weapons.
It's always a good day to talk about weapons.
That's right.
But there was some new American technology that was being used over there, and I don't remember what it was called, in conjunction with the Iron Dome. Which is what I was talking about earlier. The takeaway from this is Chinese weapons suck because everything Iran uses is Chinese.
Right.
And were able to, our weapons work, theirs don't.
Right. Unless they have no defense, then their weapons are probably fine.
Well, yeah, if they can hit their targets.
Because they're cheap enough to where they can shoot a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to just overwhelm the systems.
But think about it. But put this in perspective. You had 300 ballistic missiles. I don't remember the other type of missile, and drones being all at one after another after another after another, and American technology stopped them all. There's one young girl who was probably hit from shrapnel or something, maybe, I don't know.
From nearby blast, yeah.
But other than that, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's a testament to what we can do.
And how can people in the U.S. not see this? Could you imagine if Canada started lobbing missiles into Minnesota?
Yeah.
How long would we sit there and let that happen before we started to fight back?
I would venture to say, if we had a Republican or a good leader,
A world leader.
A missile wouldn't leave the ground from Canada.
right.
But if you had a Democrat, they would allow people to die.
But sometimes they surprise people on October 7th when they went in there and just parachuted in, parasailed in, and started just shooting people randomly all over the place. No warning, no discretion whatsoever.
Do you know, Roger, it's funny you bring that up. Well, it's not funny.
It's not funny. We're talking about Israel and their defense.
Yeah, I was going to say,
that's not
funny.
That's how this whole thing started back then,
It's not funny, but I will tell you this. No one's really talking about this. The FBI director of this country, the FBI, is warning that we are right now, he's never seen as many red flags and is trying to warn people here in this country that a Hamas style attack on October is likely here.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing stopping them, especially with our current administration. There's nothing stopping them.
Yeah, that's sad.
Now, granted, if they did that, how upset would the Americans be? Oh, it's just the Palestinians. They're just fighting for freedom.
My goodness.
They want their land back, so they're going to come blow us a few people up here just to get our attention.
Did you ever think you would see the day that people in this country would be screaming death to America? And that happened all over the weekend. And if you're an American citizen and you're screaming death to America, then I, as a taxpayer, am willing to allow the government to take some tax dollars, rent or charter an airplane, a big old, let's get an old 747 that's not flying anymore. So let's really pack this up with as many of these libtards as want to get on this plane and take them to Gaza.
Yeah, let them live there. If they like it so much.
Yeah, if you're going to scream death to America and you're going to wave and be a dumb Hamas, be part of the dumb Hamases, if you're going to be a dumb Hamas person, then you should go live amongst them. See how they treat you.
The funny thing is, most of these people have no realization that with their liberal views, they would be frowned upon in these countries worse than almost anybody else.
They'd be killed first.
Yeah, and they would be the first ones in the firing line, and they'd have no idea.
If they're part of the alphabet gang, then you're really in trouble.
Oh, yeah, if they have... If they have different sexual preferences, here you're free to do what you want. There, they throw you off a building because they think you're sexual preferences are against God or whatever, and they decide to take punishment into their own hands. But yet you support these people. So you support the people who are willing to kill you on sight if they get the chance.
Because these people are so misguided and so indoctrinated by left-wing moonbats.
Yeah, and the media is not... Think well, the media, I don't know, did they...
Dude, the media loves this stuff.
They didn't report it as much as I thought they were going to. They're reporting
some of the protests, but you will see the media try to cover up the Death to America chants.
Right.
Because why? These are Biden voters. Make no mistake. These are Biden voters. These are Democrat voters. They're not Republican voters. They're not Libertarian voters.
Well, they're terrorist voters too. Because think about terrorists in this country.
These are citizens in this country, Roger, that will vote for Joe Biden in 2024.
Yeah. But think about terrorists who are in this country. The cells are already here.
Yeah.
They're certainly going to push votes for Biden because he's allowing them to thrive. Yeah. He's giving them the free rein, the free leash to do what they need to do.
Yep.
He's not restricting them in any way. He's letting them bring their partners in through the southern borders.
Hmm.
You know?
Sad.
Oh, that's funny. You don't look like you're from Guatemala. Yes, Guatemala.
That's great, Roger. When was the last time you saw a bunch of Mexicans in Guatemala coming over the border? You know, the biggest sign that, hey, maybe they're not Mexicans in Guatemala was the fact that when they're coming across the border going,
prayer rugs and everything. It's like, you know, come on. I don't care who they are. If you want to come here, we've got a front door. Come on in.
Yeah.
Knock on the door. Come in.
Knock on the door.
Do what you need to do.
We'll give you permission most of the time.
A wall doesn't mean you can't come in. It means use the door.
It just means we want you to use the door.
And anybody who believes we should have open borders, I want to come by your house and make sure it's unlocked.
And unlocked. Exactly. And, I'm going to find a to come in your door first and see how you
we'll see how you like if terrorists or drug cartels come in your house and set up shop. What do you think all these squatters are doing?
You know what, Roger? Speaking of do you remember that? I think it was Robot Chicken. Folks, you've got to look this up.
Robot Chicken. Okay, I haven't seen that forever.
Remember that show?
I do.
You've got to look this up on YouTube. I'm almost positive it was Robot Chicken, and they had the Thundercats. Remember that show, Thundercats?
Thundercats, yes. Oh, yeah.
They had all the Thundercats in a meeting, or maybe it was just, I don't remember, maybe it was just cat. It might have been done
in different
ways.
And Thunder Chicken ran in there?
Well, a Muslim mouse strapped on a bomb vest, and all of a sudden they're in the cats are in a circle having their meeting, and the next thing you hear is, and they blew the cats. I'm sorry, folks. That was funny.
That was a cartoon, though. So keep it in mind. We did not write that.
Yeah, we didn't write that.
We're just telling you what's out there for your entertainment.
America's
value.
Web Radio didn't write that.
That's right.
This was an actual show on TV.
But it was funny.
That was funny.
Well, that's like when they made a big deal about showing a likeness of Muhammad.
Oh, right.
And in Family Guy, they were going to have Muhammad come in and make an appearance. But they decided they didn't want to risk it. So what they did is they had some guy knock on the door, and Peter goes to the door and says, "Oh, Muhammad, how are you?
Muhammad.
Oh, thanks. You giving me this football. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
And they show Muhammad for a brief, but his face is all blurred out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns around and just walks in the house, throws the football down. That's the end of it. And that's the end of nothing it. Offensive in any way.
Right.
Well, offensive. Maybe it was, because what's a nickname for a football?
Ooh, pigskin.
Pigskin.
Oh, Roger, you figured it out.
That's what the offensive
but
part is.
You know how sad it is in this country. They were so afraid to do that. And even though we have freedom of expression,
freedom of
the press, they were so afraid to do it because the terrorists that are here illegally
are winning.
Would have killed them.
They're winning.
They're winning 100%.
They're terrorizing us and doing their will. Somebody like
Family Guy, who makes fun of everything and everybody, when they can't make fun of Muhammad because they're afraid they'll actually be killed in this country, they'll be killed by terrorists. What does that tell you?
Well, it's like when they had the art contest in Texas, the Draw Muhammad Art Contest.
Yeah.
And the two guys tried to interrupt it, and they ended up being their own artwork when they outlined them on the sidewalk.
With chalk on the sidewalk. Yeah.
That's an art contest I can get behind.
Absolutely. 100%.
I mean, you know, I understand you have religious beliefs and you find certain things offensive, and that's fine. I get it.
Roger, let's take, for instance, the Bible. I wouldn't desecrate the Bible. I wouldn't do that, but I'm not going to stop somebody. Well, I probably would try and stop somebody if they were right next to me, but I'm not going to make a law.
You wouldn't shoot them in the head and grab the Bible away from them.
No, exactly.
You would talk to them.
No. Now,
I mean, there's a limit. You know, if you want to have a conversation with somebody and convince them of something, smart people are smart because they can see change or they can adapt change.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you are entrenched in your beliefs, you have no flexibility.
Yeah, exactly. You can't just go, not especially in this country where we have freedom of religion, freedom of expression. It's just like Roger, when every year we used to take turns dying laughing because your brother would make his own words up for the Seder reading.
Oh God, yes. Oh geez.
I will never forget some of the best times of my life.
You would read them with such enthusiasm.
Some of the best times of my life, Roger, were sitting in your house while Scott read his part of the Seder. It would have been sufficient. But even then, if somebody had to grab that and burnt it, we're not going to shoot him in the head. We might beat the crap out of him, but we weren't going to shoot him in the head.
But you just don't, you know, there are limits, and these people have, and it's like when they attacked Israel on the 7th, they were shooting everybody.
Yeah.
Anybody who was there, they were shooting and killing.
They even shot Muslims.
They were shooting dogs.
Yep.
Which that right there. They were shooting dogs.
I mean,
which means Israel needs to go John Wick on every one of these terrorists.
We saw what John Wick did.
That's right. Let's make that look like a Disney film in comparison to what Israel does to these people.
I agree.
100%. I would say for every person they killed, 100%. They take bulldozers, line them up for a mile, mm-hmm. and go 100 yards into Gaza, demolishing everything in their path. 100 yards for every person they killed on that day.
You know, they've been going through Gaza, and they're still doing it, even though, just like I said, Biden would stab Israel in the back from the beginning, and he is.
Yeah, of course.
He's trying to get them to stop. But Netanyahu said the other day, he goes, we're not going to stop until Hamas is done. And they should eradicate the Hamas.
Oh, absolutely.
They should kill every dumb Hamases out there.
And unfortunately, Gaza elected a terrorist government to run it.
Exactly.
So they're not innocent. When they say they're innocent people there, not as many as you think.
Don't come complain to me for collateral damage when you voted for this mess.
That's right.
Now, Israel's doing everything they can not to hurt innocents.
To avoid
everything they can.
Yes.
But war's ugly.
And
Israel didn't start this war. Listen, there was a ceasefire on October 6th. It was October 7th that busted up the ceasefire, and it wasn't Israel that did it.
Yeah, they were being peaceful, but until somebody and then they turn around, they kill thousands of people, and then they say, "Oh, we surrender."
And
let's
then
have
they
a ceasefire.
Wanna,
it's like, no, it's too late for that now.
Yep,
you violated the last one.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be trusted. Your word means nothing.
After what you did on October 7th by destroying a ceasefire on October 7th, don't you turn around now and ask for a ceasefire
You're losing.
Just because you pissed off the better team.
You poked the bear.
Exactly.
And they need to, that's the thing. You poked the bear, you need to be prepared to deal with the consequences.
Yeah.
And if it means innocent people die because they supported a terrorist government, then you know what?
Unfortunately,
it sucks, that's how the world works.
It's an unfortunate,
those are Muslims. They may not cut your head off, but they'll hold your feet down while somebody else does. You know, those are the moderate.
Yeah, the moderate ones.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it because I've got some good Muslim friends, but you know what? They're here. They've adapted. They're Americans now, and they don't.
Right. And they want to be here.
They want to be here.
Why did they come here? Because they didn't like where they came from. They didn't like where they came from. They didn't like the way things were done. You know, they don't want to see their wives having to wear long covering clothing every hour of every day.
Exactly. Well, one of them married a blonde lady. American blonde lady.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm sure.
He couldn't have married her over there.
No. Oh, God, no. And she couldn't wear, a dress or anything over there either. Yeah.
No.
If you like America or you love America, we welcome you. We want you to come here.
Yeah. That's
but
the
if you
key,
hate America,
man.
You don't need to be
that's
here.
That's the key. We don't care what you do behind your own doors of your house.
That's right. And you can even proclaim
as long as
it
you're
in the
not
streets,
infringing
as long as...
on somebody's right to life, liberty, and property.
You can praise your religion all you want. You can be religious.
You can the cows come home.
But you cannot bash somebody else for their religious beliefs.
Yeah, exactly. But don't tell us.
Because somebody once said, I may disagree with what you say, but I will fight to
the death
for your right,
for
to,
your
say
right
it.
To say
that
it.
That was Voltaire said
You
that.
Won't hear a Democrat say that. You'll hear a Republican say that, but you won't hear a Democrat say that.
A famous philosopher said that, and it holds true to this day.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like people say, the Nazis, you need to kill them all. It's like, unless they're doing something illegal, they have a right to proclaim whatever values they want.
Just like, so.
As long as they obey the law.
So I'll say this. These idiots that are running around all week and saying death to America, there are people in this country that are calling for their arrest. Well, until they break the law.
Under what charge?
Exactly. Until they break the law. So I'm going to call them out, and I'm going to tell them they're idiots, and I want to put them on a plane and ship them out.
Yeah, but America's so bad. Why are you here?
Exactly. But I would not call for their arrest. They
haven't broken any laws.
They haven't
yet.
Broken a law. They're being stupid. Yes. They're idiots. Yes.
They're being vile. Unethical.
100% vile and unethical and screaming for the death of America and your own country. I mean, I can't even put it in words how ridiculous and bad it is. But I'm not going to call for your arrest.
Right. I mean, something illegal.
Yeah, unless it's illegal. Because in this country,
you go block a freeway with signs. You're getting arrested.
Yeah, you're getting arrested. They shouldn't. Yeah, exactly.
You threaten because violence to somebody,
country,
you're getting arrested.
If you give your government the power to arrest people because of speech, then you're opening a can of worms.
Yeah, we're done.
You are not
going to
be happy with
our
it.
Country's not the same as it's going to be. It will never be the same.
And who wants to do it? Democrats. Anyway, you got a big story there, don't you?
Well, it was saying Israel learned a lesson from the October 7th attacks. What they learned is that you have to allow – Israeli police will now allow civilians to come armed to performances because they went at the music festival and shot several hundred people there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a gun-free zone at the time. They didn't want people – now they're going to allow citizens to bring weapons to concerts if they're qualified to carry them.
It was a gun –
gee, imagine that.
Yeah, it was a gun-free zone until when?
Until somebody who didn't obey the law
until
brought guns in there.
Until criminals brought guns.
Yeah.
Gun-free zones don't work, people.
Yeah.
Anywhere. And this was one of my biggest complaints with Israel.
Well, it says, a lot of places in response to a massacre is to restrict people. The idea that bad people can't get guns.
Right, is ridiculous.
Is ridiculous.
Well, this was one of my big problems with Netanyahu, and not just Netanyahu, but the people before him, because Israel has been anti-gun for a long time for their citizens.
Yeah. I know.
And now, they're changing the tune. Netanyahu, I think, was the one
of
the
first. Well, they're realizing they're so vulnerable if this is.
But the fact, though, that should be questioned. As much as I support Israel, we shouldn't let go. If I had the chance to talk to Netanyahu, I would make him answer, how did you support the anti-gun views before this?
Right.
Why did it last as long as it did? You should have never, the one country over there that should have been emulating a Second Amendment is Israel.
Israel, yeah, because they need
it.
They can be attacked at the drop of a hat
instantly.
No warning, no
intelligence. There was no way security forces could respond in time when they were overwhelmed by the Hamas's. Overwhelmed them.
Oh yeah, it was.
But imagine,
and they're starting to realize that now, and they're changing their tune.
Imagine if half of those partygoers had weapons.
Oh yeah,
that would have been a different story.
They would have curbed that attack tremendously,
and the homes. So here's this too, the neighborhood that they got to first, and
right,
were going
I saw
house
some of that
to
video.
House.
It was insane.
They were going house to house and executing people because they didn't have guns. These homeowners were not allowed to have guns.
Right.
Now imagine the difference had they had guns.
Now granted, Israel would have to be very thorough in vetting people who had guns.
Anybody, of course.
Right. I mean, you'd have to be sure they were citizens. You'd have to be sure they were for the state.
And for Israel more than ever because
in some cases they may have to limit gun ownership by people who are not Jewish in their state.
Maybe. But they would have the right to do it because of everything that surrounds them.
Right. But that they'd have to loosen up their grip on citizens having guns.
They absolutely should. They absolutely should because, you know, there was
but
one.
But at least
case.
They're realizing it now, though.
And
at least,
this is,
I mean, granted, the barn door's been opened, all the cows are out, but you know,
still,
now, let's fix it now, at least.
Don't let a tragedy happen without learning from it, and thank goodness Israel's learning from it, because you know, the Democrats wouldn't. The Democrats, they look at the shootings that go on in this country, and Democrats still tell you, oh, well, we don't want to go after the criminal, we want to go after the innocent citizen.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's ridiculous because
I've been told
the Democrats don't
this
learn.
This is a county police officer telling me, he goes, you know, I'm patrolling Saturday night, I see a carload of maybe teenagers, young 20s, driving around, acting a little foolish. My chance of pulling them over is much less likely than pulling over the single guy wearing a business suit driving home speeding. He goes, I risk my life a lot less by pulling over that guy and giving him a speeding ticket than I do by pulling over the group full of, you know, young people running around violating the law anyway, if they're violating traffic law.
Yeah.
He goes, you know, that's a dangerous thing for me to have to do. And a lot of times I'll choose not to do it.
Yep. And cops want to make it home.
Yeah.
But you know, just an example, Roger, to your story, there was one, an incident on October 7th where the Hamas's, the dumb Hamas's were attacking a home, and it was an old lady, an elderly lady, and they went in. She actually, so the two young men that were in that house were Israeli soldiers.
Oh, so they had their weapons.
They had, so they jumped up and hid in an attic to get their weapons. And, cause I don't know if they were military or if they were just retired. I'm not sure the whole story about that, but I know that they hid so they could get their weapons. And the grandmother bought time by convincing these idiot Hamases that she wanted to feed them. That she wanted, with the good of her God, she wanted to feed and talk to them. And she did. She was talking to them and got them distracted. And then these two dudes popped down from the ceiling and blew these dudes away.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Yeah. They're just saying.
So, but they couldn't have done it had they not had guns in the house.
They'd be much less likely to carry out such an attack because they know they'd be put down like a rabid dog by someone they didn't know was carrying a firearm.
Yeah.
That's why firearms make a society safer.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's why homes in America, if they know you're rabid anti-gun, you're putting a target on your home for home invasion, for theft, for robbery, whatever it is. But if they know there's potential for someone to have a gun or they don't know and they're unsure, that's going to be the last place they're going to go because nobody wants to. Criminals are dumb and they're lazy.
Right.
And they're cowards. They don't want to be caught. They don't want to have anybody have resistance to them. Mm-hmm. So, and no resistance is exactly what they want. They know there may be resistance. I mean, they'll go somewhere else. They're not stupid. I just said they were dumb, but they're not that dumb, I guess.
The perception of more guns is a deterrent.
Oh, yeah.
And all you need to do is look to Georgia. The state of Georgia has a county called Kennesaw. And they Kennesaw, and they actually, a city of Kennesaw, and they actually passed and put it on the books that every home must have a gun. Now they didn't enforce this law, they didn't make you get a gun.
Well, you could be a conscientious objector.
But, they didn't, but they never enforced it. They even said they weren't gonna enforce it.
But it was more symbolic.
But it was on the books, and their crime rate dropped. They have one of the lowest crime rates in the state of Georgia.
Yep, they do.
Because criminals know, if I go to Kennesaw, there's a good chance that I'm going to go to somebody who's got a weapon.
I can go one town over and be a lot safer.
So I'm going to go one city over and be, I'm going to go to the city of Atlanta where they're gun-free zones.
Yeah, that's right. Go to a gun-free zone and have my way with everybody.
That's why I tell my neighbor, you want to be a gun-free zone? Put a sign up. Put a sign because if you don't, I will. There are no guns in the house next to
me. This guy doesn't like it. This guy loves gun control.
And I haven't found a neighbor yet that will let me do that.
But if the signs work so well, why don't we just put them up everywhere?
Yeah.
Murder-free zone, rape-free zone.
Yeah.
So no one will ever commit any more
free
crimes.
Zone.
Yes. Why don't we do that? If the signs work so well, why don't we just put up free zones everywhere?
All I know is nowadays, everywhere I see a drug-free zone, I get hit with a wall of marijuana smoke. So I don't think the signs are working.
People offer to sell you everything. Okay, on the freeways, we're going to put speeding-free zones.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes, that'll
slow me down.
We don't need State Patrol anymore because we have signs now.
Yes. I'm for that, Roger.
Yes.
I am for no more tax collection by writing speed tickets. Let's just put a bunch of signs out.
Say speeding
free
zone. I am
for spending taxpayer dollars on signs that say speeding zone, or what would you call it?
No speeding zone.
No speeding zone.
Yes, this is a no speeding zone. You're not allowed to speed here.
Let's do that.
And now all of you guys are laughing at home and go, that's how silly this is when you make a gun-free zone.
When you make a gun-free zone. Can we only write tickets for bozos that drive slow in the left lane?
Oh, there actually is a slowpoke law in Georgia and in Florida.
Yeah.
No, they've written over.
I don't
over,
think they use it.
It was about a year ago. I read they had written over 300 slowpoke tickets in the first 6 months.
How come they never find the guy that's slowing me down?
I know. Well, you know, they can't be everywhere.
Can we make citizen pull up? No.
Yeah, I don't have time for that shit.
I don't have time for that either. I got to go.
I'm in a hurry. You're slowing me down. I don't have to pull you over.
All I want to do is get you out of my way.
That's right.
Move. I don't even care if you get a ticket. Just get behind him. Say, get out of the way. I would love that. Now this, I would
just have a blue light in his eye.
No, I won't even do that. I would just, a PA system. Hey, get out of the left lane. You know, a good old
left
PA
lane
system.
Is for passing only.
Yes,
please obey
only.
Traffic laws.
That now, would wake now them I up. Could get a PA system.
Yeah, that's perfectly
that is
legal.
Perfectly legal.
We used to have those built into CB radios.
Yes,
if you remember
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that, and that was back in the cuckoo days. I
remember in high school, I used to have all the guys with big trucks would have their PA systems, so they could play music or talk over or whatever they wanted. That was hysterical.
Man, I remember driving around and getting on that and scaring bicycle riders. You know who did that, Roger? The first person
besides
who showed
you?
Me that? The person who showed me that? Your brother.
Brother Scott, yep. He had a sense of humor that was a little demented.
Oh my gosh, he should do.
Hey, watch out!
You know, if Gonzalez is out there listening today, he can attest to a lot of that.
Oh yeah, he was mischievous beyond a doubt.
I was probably, gosh, I don't know, 12, 13. I was barely a preteen when I started hanging out with Gonzalez and your brother Scott.
Oh, and, no, there, you were corrupted from a young age.
I was 100% corrupted. But I will forever say I was corrupted in a good way.
That's right. Learn about freedom to make jokes whenever possible.
I just can't
with no offense.
I just can't believe that my parents, now this is how good Gonzalez and Scott were, because my parents actually allowed me as a 12-year-old to hang out with them.
They thought they were a good influence.
They had their license.
They thought they were a good influence. Oh, God, were they wrong?
Oh, man.
So Israel realized taking guns away from people who need to defend themselves is not the way to protect your country. Yeah. Especially after that attack. I mean, like I say, they were shooting dogs. That's where I draw the line.
Oh,
if you're going to shoot dogs, you need to be killed like a dog.
You need to be killed like the dog that you
killed.
It's
crazy. And hopefully the world will, or at least the United States will see this, and these liberal rabid anti-gun idiots will realize a sign is not going to protect you. We'd put them everywhere.
Yeah,
willy-nilly all over the place. Have signs for anti-everything.
It's laughable what you just said. The Democrats aren't going to learn squat, man. It's all about power for them. They could care less.
Control is not about the guns. It's about the control.
They only want criminals to have guns.
Right, and of course, who they think they deem necessary.
Yep.
There was something else. What was that?
All right, Roger, I'm going to bolt and leave it with you to talk more about guns, and more guns.
Yeah, there's Australia had a stabbing. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Six people got stabbed.
There was a stabbing here the other day for something, but you mean Australia doesn't have it? You mean they still have crime even though they banned guns?
Even though they banned guns, I know. And the thing is, the last gun massacre they had was five people. They got an AR-15. This guy with a knife killed six people.
Wow.
He was breaking the record of the guy before him.
Six people with a knife.
With a knife. Well, yeah, because knives are quiet.
And one gun owner could have stopped
him. Well, a cop ended up stopping him, shooting him. But, you know, the fact that nobody else was able to carry a gun.
Yeah, right. I'm surprised the cop had a gun. But here's the thing. This guy got to kill until the cop arrived.
That's right. He was
and when seconds
unfettered.
Count...
Cops are minutes away. And there we go.
All right, Roger, I'm going to leave you with your other stories you got going. Oh, I guess you're about to take a break anyway.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. But, yeah, so be aware. I mean, if you're going to have no gun signs, think about all the other things we can use signs for to help prevent crime. No murder signs, no speeding signs. This is a no speeding zone.
I'm all for the no speeding zone signs.
We don't need police anymore. We're just going to have a sign. That's all you have to do from now on is have a sign. All right, we got to take a quick break. Give some messages here. I am Roger B. This has been Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
Veteran-owned, America's Web Radio would like to thank all of our incredible patrons. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. If you are not already a patron, you can help us continue to produce some of the most informative and entertaining shows on the internet by becoming a patron. Patrons of America's Web Radio are the first to receive information about new shows and links to the latest podcast episodes. Join now and receive a free gift while supplies last. For more information and to join our family, please visit www.patreon.com/AmericasWebRadio. If you have questions, contact us at gm@AmericasWebRadio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio. Now, before we left for the break, we were talking about a lesson that Israel has clearly learned about allowing upstanding, in good standing citizens to be able to have guns. And it makes a lot of sense now. Now, granted, the barn door was open. A lot of the horses got out. But you know what? It's not too late to reverse the policy. And if a lot of big cities in America would realize this and realize that upstanding, in good standing citizens can help deter crime, maybe there's a lesson to be learned from this after all. I mean, Israel learned the lesson, granted, probably a little too late, especially with the situation that they're in, surrounded by their enemies. I mean, I want people to think about this for a minute. If you were in your neighborhood you were at a music festival, all of a sudden people started parachuting in, shooting everybody they saw. How prepared would you be for that? Especially since I know in the United States, almost all concerts and large venues are gun-free zones, and you have to walk through a metal detector before you get in. Now, people just parachuted in or landed and crashed the doors and started shooting people in a big venue. How likely would you be to survive that? I mean, granted, some of you have survival skills or have military training to evade, you know, evade capture or evade, you know, dealing with enemies directly like that, knowing how to get out of a situation. But most people would just be sitting ducks. And they'd be sitting there thinking, oh my God, I left my gun in my truck because this is a gun-free zone. Instead of allowing upstanding, in good standing citizens to carry their weapons and help protect those around them, they're going to take away that protection. And even, I mean, this is just me, but last time I was at a large venue show or concert, the security people not all of them had weapons. A select few did. There were police officers there with weapons, and they would be the first ones to be called. But if you had 100 people parachuting into a place, how likely are they going to be to get to them before they kill hundreds of people? And even on just a standard, if you're in a restaurant or a diner and somebody has a gun and that diner's got a gun-free zone sign on their door, or it's in a part of New York where it's a gun-free zone, even though they're not supposed to have that, a court said they were not allowed to tell people they could not have a gun permit without any kind of restriction, unless they're restricted, former inmate, if they committed domestic violence, they're restricted. But anybody else unrestricted were still not allowed to carry in certain parts of New York because they deemed them to be gun-free zones. But yet that's where most of the crime takes place. So they're basically giving criminals right of way, giving them, I guess, free rein, telling them where it's safest, where the citizens will be least likely to resist. They're giving them a green flag to go ahead and commit crimes in this area. When will people realize this is not the way you protect yourself or your people? You don't protect people by disarming them. It's like saying, okay, let's throw the sheep in with the wolves and see who comes out on top. Anybody with the weapons are gonna prevail. There's just no way around it. Now, granted, I understand there are probably some people out there who would take advantage of this, who would not be, cooperating in the spirit of being able to protect other people because they've seen too many movies. And I know this is a weird stance to take because I've been criticized for this before, but I would be all for an extensive background check in order to get an enhanced weapons carry permit, which means you could carry a weapon virtually anywhere. Now, granted, with this weapons permit, there may be additional training. There'd be an extensive background check, even maybe a psychological test. But when you had this weapons permit, you could carry a gun virtually anywhere. That would be what I would like to see. And I know it may be anti-Second Amendment to require training or testing or interviewing or anything like that. But this is an enhanced permit. This would not only allow you to carry a gun anywhere you normally can, but it would add places. You'd be able to carry into venues. You'd be able to carry into courthouses. You'd be able to carry basically anywhere a police officer could carry or federal agent could carry. And that would be something that I think people would be up for that. People who have served their country, people who have that call to service, they would be willing to go the extra step to be those people, to be our defenders, to be the sheepdogs. Because, I mean, a lot of people, they carry a gun daily. I'm one of them. I try not to leave home without it. There are times I don't have it, but it's pretty rare. And there are some places I cannot bring it. However, if I had an opportunity to get an enhanced permit that would allow me to carry in additional places or, you know, in places that normally I couldn't, I would certainly go through the extra testing, training, whatever they required in order to be able to get that. Because I think it would be important to be the person that could help defend innocent people. You know, if something happens, you want to be the ones to stand between them and the evil. And you wouldn't have to, but you'd have the opportunity to. You know, I understand with every bullet fired, a lawyer is attached to it. So in a situation where you had to draw and fire your weapon, you'd have to be extremely sure. You'd have to be ultimately confident that you were in the right and you weren't misreading something or misunderstanding a situation. You would have to personally be threatened or see somebody in a directly possibly lethal situation before you'd be able to draw your weapon and fire upon an assailant. You know, and that gets kind of tricky sometimes too, because, you know, especially when it's, that's why cops dislike domestic violence calls so much. Because they never know what they're walking into. They never know how the victim is going to feel once they get there. I mean, a lot of times, someone who called the police, they get there, they say, oh, everything's fine, we don't need you anymore. And they have to investigate. They have to see who made the call, why they made the call, and they have to investigate. And at that point, the victim usually turns to stay with their assailant because that's where their loyalties lie. And it's hard for officers to deal with this, and the same thing happens with people. You see your neighbor beating up his wife, you go over there and try and defend her, then the police arrive, and she jumps up and says, you interfered, you got in the way, you should not have threatened her husband, boyfriend, whatever he was that was assailing her. You have to, you know, that's the kind of thing. You got to be very careful when you put your nose in somebody else's business where you personally are not being threatened. Now, if you're being threatened, that puts a whole new spin on it. However, if you're on somebody else's property and being threatened and they ask you to leave, then it'd be very difficult to make that point in court that you didn't have the opportunity to walk away. That's something a lot of people don't realize. If in a self-defense situation, there's an opportunity, a clear and present opportunity for you to walk away, you need to take that. Now, granted, if you have family with you, they need to be given the same leeway. If not, you stay and defend them. But anybody who wants to be, who wants to leave and walk away is allowed to. That's the path you need to take. It's hard to think that way sometimes. Only police officers are able to get involved like that and get in the middle of two people having an argument and hopefully be on the right side of it. I don't even know if that would, you know, even then, there's going to be testimony made that maybe they accelerated the situation somehow. They were more of an irritant than they were help. So that's why they hate the domestic violence calls so much, because it's so easy for people to flip-flop. Once they get there and they feel like they're no longer in danger, they go right back to embracing their assailant. So just be aware of that kind of thing. I mean, if you are carrying a gun, even if you are in public, be aware of what can happen if you get in the middle of somebody else's relationship or discussion or argument or, you know, if there's no felony being committed, if somebody's not literally beating somebody, if they're just verbally assaulting them, you do not want to get involved in that and use lethal force in any way unless you are threatened with lethal force first. I can believe there was a story in Georgia where somebody got involved in a car accident and then drove away. And a lady chased him down in her car, had her gun drawn, pulled the guy, got the guy to pull over, tried to open his truck door and pull him out. He fought her, tried to grab her gun. She shot him. The only thing he was guilty of was hit and run. Now, granted, it was an accident and he shouldn't have left the scene. He was committing a crime, but she, as a citizen, had no right to chase him down and then threaten him with a weapon. A hit and run, apparently the level of hit and run this was minor, and nobody died. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a fatal accident of any sort. She had no reason to go after him with a weapon drawn. And she's going to face jail time now because of that. She felt like she had the right to go arrest somebody or detain somebody at gunpoint because of a traffic accident. Does not happen that way. And there are people saying, oh, well, he violated the law. He hit somebody and then ran away. It was attempted murder. And then, of course, they come down to the point he was diabetic. He was in a diabetic crisis. He was not thinking clearly. And you end up doing something like that, and you end up going to jail because you made the wrong call. You have to realize there must be a lethal threat for you to draw your weapon and try and detain or stop somebody from doing something. If they are not threatening somebody with death or serious injury, you cannot go after them, especially after the fact. The accident was already over. It was done. He drove off after the accident happened. And apparently he had no other accidents on the way. So he wasn't a constant threat, but still, you don't go after somebody like that with your weapon drawn. You don't argue with somebody like that. You call the police. If she was able to get that close to him, she had his tag number. She could have whipped out her phone, taken pictures of him, pictures of the tag number, pictures of the vehicle, and she would have had all the evidence she needed for the police to track him down and do their job. It was not her job. She was not law enforcement. I believe she was a prison guard, so maybe she felt empowered because she thought everybody outside the prison still lived that way. I'd have to look up the facts of that particular case, but she had no right to do what she did. She did it anyway, and now she's in hot water, big trouble for murdering somebody who should not have been killed. So be wary. I mean, try not to let your emotions get the best of you. If you're carrying a weapon, it is a last resort all the time. And personally, I like to carry concealed because I don't want anybody to know I have that weapon unless it comes to the point where I need to use it or threaten its use. It was a popular pistol guy, Jeff Cooper, and he said a pistol is a means or a gun is a means of stopping a fight, either by its use or the threat thereof. So sometimes all it takes is a threat of a weapon to stop somebody from committing a felony or committing a crime, a personal crime against somebody, causing extreme injury or death. Sometimes a threat of a weapon is enough to stop that person. And I've seen that play out before in the case of road rage. Somebody, I don't know, there was some altercation and the two drivers got into a, you know, they were, the driver who felt like he was slighted was driving erratically, was trying to assault the other driver with his vehicle. Finally, he pulled over. He got the other guy to pull off the side of the road. He came up to the car ready to fight. A person in the driver's seat had a weapon in his hand. He looked down at it, looked back at the guy in the window. The guy realized this was not where he wanted to go with this. He did not want to accelerate. He did not want to antagonize a person who was willing to use deadly force to defend himself. And I think at that point, maybe that was a wake-up call for him realizing, you know what? It was a traffic violation. There's no reason why I should get into an altercation threatening to injure or kill somebody over a traffic violation. And he realized if he had accelerated that situation or gone ahead with it, it would have ended badly probably for both people. You know, the guy sitting in his car with his weapon in his hand, his car, in some cases, the car is an extension of your home. And if someone attacks you in your car, you have the right to defend yourself. And he would have had that right clearly in this case. Just like the guy who the lady pulled over, he was inside his vehicle. All she had to do was wait for the police to arrive. He has stopped. He was not moving anymore. All she had to do was wait, get the information, get the the evidence she needed and let the police handle the job. Don't go above and beyond what your rights are or what your limits should be. And you have to be very aware of that whenever you are thinking about using deadly force. It's something that has to be considered so carefully every time. Like I said, every bullet fired in any scenario, in a self-defense scenario, has a lawyer attached to it. So you have to make sure, absolute sure, that there's a deadly threat or extreme injury being threatened. There's a felony being committed before you decide to intervene and brandish a weapon or even fire a weapon, even worse than that. So just, you know, be aware of the laws, be aware of the restrictions. You are not a law enforcement officer if you hold a carry permit. Does not give you the same rights as a law enforcement officer. Now, granted, in some cases, it's hard to determine whether or not you should draw that weapon. And other times, it's pretty clear because of a traffic violation, you don't draw a weapon on somebody. Unless they're heading right for you, trying to run you over with their car. If they're using their vehicle as a deadly weapon, that's another story. But if they're not, they just committed a simple traffic violation, or even a serious traffic violation, but the threat is no longer there, you cannot go after them and try and be a law enforcement officer. You do not have that right. So, just be careful. I think anybody with a concealed carry permit should be the ultimate citizen. You have to do things better than anybody else. You need to be held to a higher standard than anybody else. And you need to be up for that challenge. It's like if they did allow people to carry guns everywhere, there would be restrictions that would have to be obeyed. If you're carrying a gun, you cannot be consuming alcohol. If you're going to have a drink, go put the gun in your car. Don't carry it with you. Even if you're just going to toast at a wedding, if you're drinking alcohol, that takes you down to where you should not be able to carry a weapon. And that's the way the law would look at that. Even if you have a right to carry, once you start drinking alcohol, that right goes away. And this may also probably applies to using any kind of other, I guess, recreational drugs. In some states where you're allowed to smoke marijuana, I don't know that you'd be allowed to carry a gun. Actually, if you're a habitual marijuana user, federal law prohibits you from even owning a gun. So be very careful what you do. Like say, you are held to a higher standard than anybody else when you have that pistol permit, when you have that gun permit to carry. You're held to a higher standard. You have to do things a little better than everybody else. I know it doesn't seem fair necessarily, but that's the law. And honestly, you need to be a better citizen if you're willing to defend somebody else or even defend yourself and your family. You have to be the ultimate citizen. So take care, do the right thing, and just remember, every bullet fired has a lawyer attached to it. I can't say that enough. Because, you know, one wrong shot can cost you a lifetime in prison. Be aware of the force, guns, treat every gun as if it were loaded. Do not point the gun at anything you don't intend to shoot. Keep your finger off the trigger until you are ready to fire. Make sure of your target and its background. So even if you are shooting somebody who's committing a violent, deadly act, knowing what kind of ammo you have, if it goes through them, what's it going to do? Who's it going to hit? What's it going to hit? You have to be aware of that. You hit an innocent person while trying to even stop a felony. You hit an innocent person. You are responsible for that. So you have to know the law very well. You have to know how your weapon works. You have to know your ammunition. You have to know everything when you put yourself in that situation. That's why it's funny, because people will say, oh, you can't use hollow points. They're against the Geneva Convention. Street crime is not a war, okay? Street crime, you want to use a bullet that will stop inside of your first target. You don't want it to have over, you don't want to have over penetration in a self-defense scenario. You want to make sure that bullet, even if it hits a hand, is going to blow up on target or come apart to where it won't cause anybody else injury or death. And it's hard to do that sometimes. Judicious marksmanship helps in this situation every time. But carrying the proper ammunition, if you're carrying full metal jacket ammo and your defense handgun, you're asking for trouble if you're shooting in a crowded situation. You should not even be there. You need to get your way out of there. And only if your life is threatened personally should you even consider discharging that weapon. Look carefully. Ask people who may know. Look at the reports. There's hundreds of rounds of ammo out there that are designed specifically for self-defense purposes, meaning they are designed not to over-penetrate. They are designed to be effective in one-shot stops on a major body part. But you have to be careful because, like I say, every bullet fired has a lawyer attached to it. I can't say that enough. So when you carry, you have to be aware of so many factors that are going to make a difference if it comes time to use that weapon. And when you do use that weapon, this is so hard to train for because when you get in that situation, if you're put in that situation, your body is going to go through changes that you may not recognize. Your adrenaline is going to start to flow. Your eye-hand coordination is going to be diminished. You'll get tunnel vision. Your fine motor skills will become diminished. And you have to know that you've trained well enough to where a lot of this stuff becomes instinct. If you can't draw your weapon and fire on a target without thinking about it very much, just instinctually, you probably are not ready to draw your weapon in a criminal situation. You know, now in your house, you have a little bit more rights. You have a little bit more protection. There's less likely to be innocents around inside your house. And if they're in your house and they're not permitted there, they're not innocent anymore. You know, you have your family, your friends. They're the ones who you allow in your house. Anybody who's not allowed there is not an innocent person. Whether they were there with a weapon or not, if they break into your house or they violate, if they violate your immigration policy, let's say, and they're there without permission, they set themselves up for possible bodily injury or death. And I know there are people out there who say, oh, if you shoot somebody for stealing stuff, then you value your stuff more than you do that person's life. I go, you know what? That person who violated my rights by stealing my stuff, they value that stuff more than they do their own life. So you know what? Yeah, they take that choice. They make that decision and they face the consequences thereof, especially inside my home, inside the boundaries of my property. There, you step in my door illegally, you give up every right you ever had to exist. Because if you're there to threaten, if you're there to injure, if you're there to kill, I will do everything in my power to prevent you from harming anybody in my household, friend, family, dog. You threaten my dog in my house, it'll be the last thing you ever do. I guarantee it. So make that choice. Go ahead. You think somebody's stuff is more valuable than your life? Make that decision. Force that person into making that choice for you. You know, you hear of a suicide by police officer. Well, this is suicide by armed homeowner. Make that choice. Live or die with the consequences, whatever the case may be. And honestly, if someone's in your house, that's when you need to follow rules of combat. You shoot until the threat is no longer there. Do you shoot once and walk away? If he's still holding a weapon, you shoot until he drops the weapon or he drops to the floor and you can secure the weapon from him in a safe manner. If that means you shoot one time, fine. If that means you shoot 10 times, that's fine. Until the threat is gone, you keep firing until there is no more threat. Until the gun isn't there, the knife isn't there, until he's not advancing his position. Because in your home, you have more rights than you do anywhere in public. Yeah, a guy coming at you in public without a weapon, that's going to be a lot harder case to prove. But once he violates the sanctity of your home, that puts you in a whole different scenario. You have rights there that you don't have in public. And again, it's your responsibility to know where your family members are, where friends who are staying in your home are. It's your responsibility to help protect them if they are there. If they set foot into your house and you want to keep them safe, it's up to you to do that. Now, granted, if you have friends who carry also, then I feel sorry for anybody who steps in there trying to commit a crime or violate trespassing law. If all your friends are armed and they're all well-trained, that would be the last place I would want to have anybody break into. And it seems like most people know that. I used to work in a motorcycle shop. And it was funny because most of the guys in the shop were gun enthusiasts. And the police would come in now and again and they'd see various things and ask, oh, like say, had an AK-47 sitting in the back wall behind the counter, of course, where people were, you know, where employees were there. And he asked about it, asked a few questions. And another time somebody had brought a weapon they were selling and they put it behind the counter. We had it on a table behind the counter. A couple people came and looked at it. While he was shopping, he showed it to anybody that was interested in purchasing it. And one of the cops came in and said, oh, nice Uzi. Whose is it? I go, belongs to him. He goes, oh, is he selling it? Yep, he is. Let me take a look at it. Okay. And the police officer ended up buying the Uzi from the citizen, from the biker guy. So, but yeah, it was funny. And then we had a burglary. I'm trying to remember the proper term. Burglary is when nobody is there. When you're not there and somebody comes in and commits a crime. They were actually stealing stuff from the shop. And, one of the police came in the next day. He goes, so what happened? I heard about it. Where's the body? I went, what body? He goes, I heard you guys had a robbery. I go, well, somebody broke in and stole stuff. He goes, oh, a burglary. He goes, I can't imagine anybody coming in here armed and leaving alive. Because, I mean, like I say, there were guns in several places in that shop, and various employees were either wearing them or had them close enough by to where they were within reach, and anybody coming in there attempting to commit an armed crime of any type would be met with extreme prejudice. In fact, we had like three buildings around us. There was a mattress store on one corner. There was a dry cleaner on the other corner and a Chinese food restaurant across the street. All three of them had been robbed several times at gunpoint, but yet the motorcycle shop was always safe. We never had anybody coming in there trying to rob us. It was always burglaries. At night, they would break windows and grab stuff and try and leave or try and break down the door and steal stuff. One time we had somebody drop in through the ceiling, but it was never while anybody was there. That's when I learned the difference between robbery and burglary. Robbery is when a person is there. Burglary is when no one is there. So if you're the victim of a robbery, that gives you the right, especially in your own business, your own home, your own property, you have a right to defend that. So if you make it known, now granted, if you make it known that you have weapons, there are two things that can happen. One, a burglar will look for the point when you're not home and try and steal them. So you open yourself up possibly to more burglary attempts if you're known as someone who has weapons. But you also protect yourself from potential robbers or home invaders if word is out that you have an armed household. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there. You want people to know that you're able to defend yourself, but you don't want people to know that you have guns in the house that they could steal. So it's a careful line to walk, and you have to be careful how you do that. So be careful, be armed, be well prepared, be trained, and work on getting things in your household set up to where you can defend your household against home invaders, against potential robbers, and protect your family, your property, and even your dog. Now, I'm going to say dog is family. I don't care. Some will call them property. I say my dog is family, you know. And, again, John Wick would look like a Disney film if someone tried to hurt my dog. All right, I think that's all the time we have for today. Here we're going to call it a show. I am Roger B, and this has been Locked and Loaded, and you've been listening to America's Web Radio.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.